to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where an actual garbage man plays games 20 years or older that you, the listener, chooses. I am your host, the Nature Boy, B. Ross. The Super Garbage Bowl is almost at its end. We only have 2 episodes left. Look out for that coming next week, I think. You're going to get the remaining 8 all the way down to the final 2. In regards to the bracket, if you don't know what the Super Garbage Bowl is, it's our annual, this is the first year, but this is our annual tournament of the worst. This year, the console was the NES, so all of the community picked what they thought were the worst NES games. They were randomly bracketed, and now they're competing to see who is the worst of 2023. One thing I noticed, I forgot to ask about in the last couple episodes, were reviews. Reviews really help out this show get places. If you like this show, please leave a review. If you've already left a review, thank you so much. Trying to expand, trying to get to other people's ears. If you're new to the show, these are just my little plugs I do in the beginning of the show. You can skip down about 10 minutes to get to the good stuff. Otherwise, you can leave a review on Apple. I think you can leave it on Google. I don't know. Whatever you use. If it gives you the option to leave a review, please do if you like the show. If you don't, then don't listen. Merch store is open. It's in the show notes. We got 2 shirts. If you want to walk around looking fly in the Super Garbage Day logo or the Bassin's Black Mass Death Metal shirt designed by our very own world famous Mr. Miller, check out the show notes and click the merch link. Every game that's played every week will have a first impressions video. Usually I will be on Twitch streaming it, but if not, I will record it locally and always put it on our YouTube channel. That way you'll have a visual reference to accompany the episode if you don't know what the game really looks like. Because I know it's a podcast, so we're talking about visual things. You can always go down there in the show notes, click the YouTube link, and check out the first impression video of myself playing the game that is in the episode. Our Discord is free, it's popping, it's great. Everybody in there is super friendly, and it's your chance now to join the family in the neighborhood. It's absolutely free, like I just said. Come on in, link is in the show notes as well. That's where you can ask the retro question of the week. You can vote on certain polls for the Patreon show. Speaking of the Patreon show, for $2, you can get access to all of the exclusive shows, which are Backlog Eternal, Retro Deep Cuts, and some special edition stuff like the Super Garbage Bowl. All right, now with that out of the way, let's ask the retro question of the week. This one comes from Banjo Kaczynski. And they ask, what caused you to get into retro games, or have you been playing them regularly since they were new? Well, that is kind of a philosophical question because everybody's description of retro is different. However, in my heart, I feel like everybody will eventually become a retro gamer because even right now, my son is playing his Switch. He's playing the new Zelda or the new Kirby. But you know what? In 10, 15 years, those are going to be retro games to him. He's probably going to go back and play those. So technically, everybody is a retro gamer. They're just not there yet. So to answer your question, most of my games that I've become accustomed to or in love with and want to revisit do come from my childhood. I was raised in the Nintendo era, all the way into the Genesis, Super Nintendo, Sega CD, N64, PlayStation, Dreamcast, PlayStation 2, GameCube, Xbox 360. That's about where I stopped. But yeah, I played a ridiculous amount of games. And what I do like about retro gaming now is that I'm finding out about games like Chrono Trigger. Never played it before. I got to experience that now. So I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I have played some when they were new. And now I'm playing some that I've never played. And that's every day a new game becomes retro if you think about it. I classify it as 20 years or older. Maybe even 15 years or older. So it's whatever you want it to be. Obviously, a game that came out last year, I don't think I would consider retro. It's objectively, but, you know, let me know what you think. Now it's time to ask the important question. What are you playing? By the way, my dog Maeve is going insane right now around the studio trying to... Oh my gosh, she hit the table. She's trying to eat a fly. She is such a fly dog, a hunter. So I'm leaving this in because it's really funny. You can just hear her thrashing in the background. So what I'm playing still is Outer Wilds. Still trying to complete it. It's pretty challenging. It's pretty out there. No pun intended. And it's crazy. It's a different game. I can't recommend it enough. I fired up Joe and Mac on the Genesis because there might be something in the future going down with that. And I'm realizing quickly that that game is very, very, very difficult. Also, I've been playing Gex 3 Deep Cover Gecko on the N64 in preparation for the Backlog Eternal episode that's coming in the future. And if you want a little hint on that game, how I feel about it or how it's going, let me just say it's not going pretty good. But keep your eyes peeled in the Patreon for the full review of Gex 3 Deep Cover Gecko for the N64 once I complete it in Backlog Eternal. So let's jump right into this week's game, which is pretty big game. It was the second game I think ever put on the Patreon pool last year. So it's finally got chosen. The Wheel of Retro graced it. Took its giant Smash Brothery type hand out of the clouds and plucked it and put it into my lap. And that game is Super Mario Sunshine on the GameCube.
Yeah!
Super Mario Sunshine is a 2002 platform game developed and published by Nintendo for the Nintendo GameCube. It is the second 3D game in the Super Mario series, following Super Mario 64 and predating Super Mario Galaxy, I think? The game takes place on a tropical isle, Delfino, where Mario, Toadsworth, Princess Peach, and five Toads are taking a vacation. A villain resembling Mario, known as Shadow Mario, vandalizes the island with graffiti and leaves Mario to be wrongfully convicted for the mess. Mario is ordered to clean up Isle Delfino using a device called the Flash Liquidizer Ultra Dousing Device, or FLUD for short, while saving Princess Peach from Shadow Mario. And before we jump into the review with the world famous Mr. Miller, I have a couple reviews here from our community members in the Discord. Seeky Wisdom says, I avoided this game at all costs, but I remember when Mario was Jumpman. I stopped with Galaxy, but the last mainline Mario game I remember enjoying was Mario 64. Interesting. That's kind of how I feel. Spoiler alert. Van Fernal stated, Super Mario Sunshine is pretty odd entry in the series. Even though I got this game day one, I got 100% completion and remember enjoying it, there were a lot of things that just felt off. Mario games are known for the pick up and play nature to them. You boot the game up, you press start, and within seconds you're controlling Mario and jumping around. This game had cutscenes, a proper story, and a lot of tutorials. Even though I always applaud trying something different, this game felt like Mario 64, but needlessly complicated in every aspect. I do like the game, but I completely understand why some people hate it. And the notorious Keith the Teeth Gasper from the Main Quest podcast stated, I got this game as a gift around 08 or 09. I didn't actively avoid it. It was a GameCube game I never really heard anyone talk about, so it was never really on my radar until it was gifted to me. And I was really excited to play it. I love the Mario series, and this might be the only game that I would consider to be a complete disaster. With how innovative Mario 64 was, it seemed like this team didn't actually learn anything from it. And ultimately, Sunshine seemed like a huge setback in terms of design and gameplay. Nintendo always described the Mario games as athletic games because you're guiding the character through a series of obstacle courses to reach the end goal. And as chunky as our boy is, he's seriously flexible. But Sunshine gives him a stamina meter in the form of Flood, which completely negates his maneuverability. I get this was supposed to give the idea of making his moveset more diverse, but it really feels like the complete opposite when you also have to use Flood offensively as well. The voice acting is horrible, the blue coin collect-a-thon is insanely tedious, all of the levels feel like they blend together, performance-wise it's the most broken Mario game out there, the boss fights suck, and it's a straight-up not-good time. But Keith, really tell us how you feel. Keith, you know what? I kind of see a trend here with everybody's opinions, and I am going to let you know that I share those. So let's hit up Mr. Miller, and let's get to it. Ryan, how are you today?
I'm doing good, man.
It's good to hear.
I just stared at one shot all day today. Just one of those, like, two steps forward, three steps back kind of thing.
You know what, though? I mean, you're getting paid to do it, so that's the beauty.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's just like, as soon as I fix something, I'm like, ah, oh, shit, I broke something else.
I'm the same way, man. As an editor, I'm that way with audio. I have to make it, well, not exactly, I mean, not perfect, but if the job requires it to be precise, then yeah, I will obsess.
Well, and then there was one part where I decided to try and paint something out because I was like, oh, it's only a couple of frames. It ended up being the entire 217 frames. So I was like, that was dumb, but I'm committed now. And then it ended up looking like garbage. So I just had to throw it away and start over. I was like, well, that was like hours that I just wasted.
It happens. Speaking of painting, so you've played Super Mario Sunshine before, right?
Yeah.
Ryan, what were your initial first impressions of this game?
I mean, this one's kind of weird, just the whole premise of it, but I don't remember hating it, honestly. When I first booted it up, like, it's a lot more Mario games are always, like, bright and colorful, but this one is, like, to the extreme. The whole tropical vibe. And also the fact that, like, your traditional enemies aren't there kind of takes you out of it a little bit. But I remember liking, like, the jetpack or water pack mechanics and the
flood.
Whatever they called it. And, like, how it allowed them to make more interesting puzzles.
Yeah, I felt the same way when I first played this game. I actually purchased it 20 years ago, or maybe longer, because I think it came out more than 20 years ago. But I remember buying it for my GameCube, and this is fresh off the heels of me just being absolutely in love, and still to this day am in love with Mario 64. I was recently just replaying it for a little bit of, not so much research for this episode, but for a little bit of comparison and contrasting. And, man, that might be like my second favorite Mario game of all time.
Mario 64.
Yeah,
it's solid.
With this game, I recall when I first bought it, I played it and I was like, wow, this is really pretty and way different, you know. And then it set in really quickly that I was like, this is different. This is going to be different. And then I recall playing it. I gave it, a lot of hours back in the day. And I was like, I don't like this. I'm not having fun. So when this game was picked this week, I'm like, well, here we are, 20 years later. We got this GameCube. I got the physical game. I got the CRT. It's time to sit down now and two decades later and play it and really see if it's why I didn't like it in the past. So I gave it a playthrough and I still don't like it.
Really?
Yeah. So I think a lot of it has to do with its gameplay. And so I think this is a good segue into talking about gameplay. So my problem originally, or just initially, is the camera. The camera controls are terrible. They're inverted left and right and up and down. And you can't change that. You know, in Mario 64, we had the proprietary, that's where like the yellow C buttons were invented. But they worked well, right? And then you get the new GameCube controller, which is like just a pretty much like an evolution. If it was a Pokemon, it'd be like the evolved N64 controller.
I love the GameCube controller. A lot of people shit on it, but I love that controller.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. After playing a Wind Waker a couple weeks ago or a month ago or whenever we did that episode. I really like that controller. It's good. And it's got a lot of funky, weird buttons that are all different sizes and stuff. I can see why people don't like it now because it's not very uniform.
But
people are used to uniformity.
They're perfect. The point of them is the most used button is the biggest.
Yeah, I know. I think it's wonderful.
It's really meant for tact. Like, you could be blind and play with that controller.
What game would you play?
The one where your friend says run forward and jump, and you already know what to do because the biggest button is the one that hit that jumps.
That or you're playing Rock Band with just the controller. But but yes, the controller, you're right though. It is completely created for somebody for the use of the buttons, right? And that's why there was the shoulder buttons feel great. A lot of the analogness of it is fantastic. Like the whole controller is still very analog.
I think that was one of the first controllers, at least in the Nintendo's evolution, that actually had button acceleration with the trigger buttons.
Yeah, that's right. And I was testing that, and as I was playing Mario, I was pretty amazed that they pulled that off directly after the 64. And then a lot of people, like, they dunk on the 64's controller, but recently coming into the possession of a 64, and I'm playing a game right now for one of the bonus episodes. It's not that bad, man. I know it's a weird Trident, but I think it was also kind of revolutionary.
It's very ergonomical, at least. Like, it feels good to hold.
It works for all size hands too.
Mm-hmm. I will always dunk on the original Xbox controller.
Oh, the hamburger? Or yeah. I call it the $6 burger back in the day.
And any PlayStation controller. I haven't played with the more modern ones, but PlayStation controllers are too small. I'm just going to say it right out there, right off the bat.
They are kind of small. I was actually just playing right now with the PS4 controller. And it's okay. I think you and I, we have larger hands than the average person. Yeah, kind of. I mean, I'm kind of in love when it comes to controllers. I know we're not talking, this isn't a controller episode, but my heart and soul will always belong to the Xbox 360 controller.
That's what I got. That's what I got plugged into my PC right now.
That controller, it's just the bulkiness of it. I like the fact that it uses like batteries or a battery pack. It's just, it works on everything with a dongle, man. It's so,
yeah,
and they're so cheap, man. Like if you're trying to find like a controller that'll work on everything, PC, Steam Deck, anything that has a Bluetooth, not Bluetooth connector, but if you use that dongle, man, it's like, it's amazing how, and the latency is perfect. Not that the newest Xbox controllers aren't bad. I like them, but I just have a lot of issues with, mechanically they've been breaking a lot faster. I'm still using Xbox 360 controllers that are like easily at this point 18 years old, and my Xbox One controller that came with my system is no longer working. It's broken. So I don't know. I know this is the biggest tangent ever for a Mario episode, but all that said, the camera controls are atrocious on Mario Sunshine. Why are they inverted, the camera controls? Why can't they just left be left or right be right?
I think it's because of the cannon controls.
Yeah, but why can't that just be left and right the way God intended?
I don't know.
I never understood the whole like inverting it up and down for a lot of things that involve like, I don't know when that trend started, and I just hate that it exists.
Well, it's flight sims.
I get it, but not ever. Such a small group of people, and we just got used to it, you know, throughout the year, especially with like tank controls from old school, like Resident Evil on PS1 era. But this game has some major camera issues. It's got an auto correcting camera that makes me livid. I'm battling like the reverse left and right on top of it, just trying to adjust, and it's adjusting further away from me and getting further behind a wall where I'm just seeing my silhouette, and I don't know what's enemies are hitting me, or I'm not getting an item. And it was a very frustrating reminder of how the camera controls were better on Mario 64. I will stand behind that.
Yeah.
And they were literal buttons. We didn't have the joystick yet or the analog stick. And there's no excuse for it to be that crappy. And honestly, you know, right out the gate, they give you this new gimmick. It's the flood. It's the water jetpack. Not in love with it. As I was playing, you know, Julia was watching me play for a little bit, and I was kind of, she loves that game, right? I'm playing her copy from her childhood. And I'm just sitting there like probably irritating her, because I'm like, this is so stupid that they give you this backpack like right away. They give you this flood device immediately. Like they don't, let you get accustomed to like the controls without it. There's sections in the game where you don't have it, which actually end up being my favorite parts of the game because it reminded me of Mario 64. And I'm like, okay, well, I got this. Why don't they ease you into it? They just throw it on you and then you're kind of figuring it out, even though it's giving you like, it's explaining you how to use it. But I don't think it does a good job. Like, there's not really like a tutorial area to introduce you to what you're doing. It's just like, go crazy. Here it is. And
I mean,
fill it wherever you're near water.
That whole city is kind of like your playground to figure it out.
Yeah, but at the same time, that city is where I battled the camera the most. So I wouldn't have minded a little tutorial level, at least optional, you know, they could have worked that in.
Apparently in the Super Mario 3D collection, they give you an option to invert the camera.
Yes, I heard there were quality of life changes. I read that I'm complaining about pretty much all right now for the original version. And I'm like, well, they were aware then. But yeah, it's just the gameplay's. Seems like a direct sequel to Mario 64. I think that was the idea. It doesn't feel like one. It feels like a side adventure.
Well, almost, because it kind of is supposed to be, as far as the story goes, because he's supposed to be on vacation.
Right. And they wreck the plane and then.
Yeah. So it's
Island of Delfino.
It's not meant to be an adventure.
But I mean, they put a lot into it. Like, I mean, it's definitely a full fledged entry into the Mario universe. I think it's the second 3D game, correct?
Yeah.
Galaxy, I think, came after, right?
Galaxy came after, but I think Luigi's Mansion came out before this because it was a launch title.
Well, that was a launch title, yeah, but I don't think that was a. You know what's weird is I feel like Luigi should have just been the lead character on this.
Yeah.
Because everything feels so off. When I'm first playing it, I'm like, okay, the controls are, the world is vast. There's a lot to do. There's almost too much to do. I felt a little bit of overwhelmness, a little bit of like paradox of choice. Like I need to just be let into like, okay, I like a little linearity, you know, in my platformers.
So I think one of the big things about this game too, is it was the GameCube was finally able to do physics.
Right, and was the first physics game?
Yeah, it's the first physics-based Mario game. So they really, I think they just really wanted to play with their new toys. And that's the whole point of the Flood and like why it's so integral.
Yeah, and also the GameCube, the reason that it's such a charming little box, I absolutely adore it. I love that thing. Is that all the IPs came out on it were like drastically different than what they're used to. You got Metroid Prime, now it's a first-person shooter. You got like Luigi's own game that's like he's a Ghostbuster.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were definitely trying left turns with a lot of their main characters on the GameCube because it in itself is just like a little weird system.
You know what? That also brings up Luigi's Mansion brings up an interesting point too. Is they gave Luigi a backpack thing, so maybe they were like, "Well, Mario needs one."
Or that was a part of like the engine and the code, and they're like, "Hey, let's like it." First was probably they're realizing that the physics with perhaps Luigi's Mansion, and they're like, hey, we can actually like use this in a Mario game probably.
They just reversed like,
it out better. Yeah,
it's like sucking stuff up.
Or we're inspired. One of the, I don't know. I mean, this is me purely speculating, but it's just the gameplay is it's weird. It's just it's a lot to do, you know. And you're confined to this little island, and it's very Mario 360. Mario 360. It's very Mario 64, but it's also like grasping for straws to make sense. Because I mean, I get the story. You get weird Mario, evil Mario who has a paintbrush, and then he paints things, and you go into him like they're paintings from Mario 64, but it doesn't make any sense. And then there's like a million things to collect, and it's very similar. Obviously, the level setup, you get the shines, the way you get the stars, and it gives you kind of a hint. Where they are, how to get them, but they're all water-based. Almost every single shine is just use the water. That's the answer for everything. Use the water.
That's their
except for those.
That's their gimmick. I mean, that's what Nintendo does, man. They have a gimmick, and then they
too
just
hard on this. Way too hard.
Lay into it.
Because this is a gimmick that's hit or miss. I'm one of those people that missed. Like, yeah. I don't like the water pack. I would have loved that game without the flood, to be honest. I'm like, it's too much. I would have liked the flood to have like appeared halfway through the game, or you use it for certain parts and you don't have to like have these different attachments and stuff. The attachments also kind of make me mad because you can only have one at a time. Why don't you just let me use them all?
Yeah, you just wanted to
switch through them.
You just wanted a classic Mario platformer, and this is not it.
No, that's not true. No. I think they just went to, they overshot with ambition.
That's what, like I said, that's what they do with these type of games. I'm not trying to like make you like this game at all.
And listen, I don't hate the game. I don't hate the game. Let me get that clear. This is a quality title, and there is a lot of good I'm going to say about it. I do think the controls are pretty good in other areas that don't have to do with the water pack.
Yeah.
We keep calling it something different. From the jet ski backpack.
I mean, it's whatever you want it to be. It's a fire hose. It's a
fire double fire hose. Yeah. JanSport. So, here's the thing: is I just, if I were to sum it up, it just doesn't feel as succinct as Mario 64, right? Like Mario 64, it feels very rounded and very even. Offers a lot. Goes all over the place, has a massive amount of variety. There's different things you turn into, different abilities. Some levels you're flying, some levels you're underwater, sometimes you're metal, sometimes you're this. Some levels are like old school, almost side-scrolling platforming. This game, I think, is like really shot for the moon, and it's just very messy, but it's high quality. It's a high quality mess. It's like going to a high quality buffet. You're still at a buffet, but you're at a Vegas one. Like, you can get prime rib and lobster, you know? But it's still all, at the end of the day, it's still a buffet.
It's still a buffet, yeah. Yeah, they have a sushi bar, but you're like, I still feel kind of gross.
And I feel like they kind of painted themselves in the corner with having this flood mechanic, where you start to see that they're just running out of ideas. Like, the level, there's only, 7 or 8 worlds?
Yeah.
And that's surprising compared to Mario 64, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all obviously beach themed and they're all water themed. And I don't think everybody in the world's in love with water levels, but now you're kind of going to be near or in water for the entire Mario game.
Yeah, it was a bold move, being like, hey, you know what people hate? Let's make a game based on that.
That's true. But Nintendo's always shot for the stars. So like, I can't hate on them for trying. And this was a huge ask, I think, to get everybody who loves Mario to love this concept. But it's also just weird. The game is made weird. Like, the cutscenes are weird to me. I'll get into like the graphics and voice acting later, but
it gave us our best cutscene ever.
Which one?
The one that insinuates that baby Bowser is Princess Peach's son.
Oh yeah. That one's weird. It's like, mommy. Yeah, Mommy Peach, Mommy. Daddy said you're a mommy. Like, I was like, what is going on? Like, now I do understand that Mario games aren't the pillar of like literature when it comes to crafting a story, but this one, I didn't need this weird story arc. They could have just kept it basic, man. They could have kept Bowser Jr. out of it and just been like, the Metal Mario is just this, he's just a weird being that's causing havoc. I feel like they added too much to it, where I'm like, okay, don't care. Okay. And now Metal Mario's really Bowser Jr. And then they still somehow like shoehorned a Bowser fight into this game. And it's fine though. It's beautiful. And let me say a couple things with the gameplay I do like. I do like that they brought back some of the stuff from like Mario World, you know, like some of those old mechanics from I think they're also in Mario 64, so maybe they're just kind of, they feel tighter, I guess, like the cage, the flipping of the cage, the hitting it and all that. Though it could be annoying sometimes when you just, another problem with like some of the levels that involve you climbing those cages either vertically or horizontally and then like flipping them. They use two different buttons and then the camera could get wacky. But outside of that, I did like that they would incorporate levels that felt very parkour. maybe not levels, but like obstacle courses or obbies. If you're a Roblox player, I felt a lot of obbiness in there. Like a lot of it was like the whole game is like a lot of obstacle courses. I like those levels in Mario 64 that felt like obstacle courses, or at least those stars you had to get. This game does a lot of that, and the variety is crazy, man. Like, if I give this game props for anything, I love its bosses and mini bosses. They're goofy and weird, but they're all really, like, they have character, and they're pretty epic. Like, even just the when you have to fight the caterpillar that's roid raging, you know, and like even though everything requires you to use water and the flood, they kind of found a way to make you use it differently. You know, sometimes you're like washing something's dirty teeth, or you're like pumping a little sprout full of water until it explodes into a giant shape. And you know, I have to give them the credit there, and I did like the boss fights, like the brutal one where you're just ripping off the tentacles. I was like, God, it is barbaric. But but most of the boss fights kind of also came down to like do this thing and then stomp.
Yeah,
you know, it's like stomp or pull, fill up, stomp or pull.
I mean, that's Super Mario 64 boss fights in a nutshell too, though.
Yeah, but they were like grab and throw and dodge and punch. Yeah, but the game definitely has, I think, in regards to boss fights, 100% are better on Sunshine than 64. I think 64's whole idea was like introducing everybody to a 3D world of Mario, and that's where they put all their time and effort and love, and like they didn't really think like, well, the boss fights are just going to be kind of similar,
right?
Because that's kind of how it's always been with Mario. You think back to like Mario 1.
I mean, yeah, you just jump on their head.
Yeah. Mario 3, Super Mario World. It's kind of like the bosses are just kind of the same, just a little different, you know?
Yeah.
But I did like that. I thought having Yoshi in the game was kind of cool, but I didn't realize that he was bulimic. I always thought he ate things and then like spit fire out or whatever, but in this game he's just vomiting all the time, which is interesting. But I mean, okay, I've sat here and kind of ragged on it. I'm gonna let you talk a little bit. Let me hear your side of it. What you feel, what are your feelings on the gameplay here of Super Mario Sunshine, and let me know where I'm wrong here.
Well, I agree with you that the camera's jacked, but I don't know, I kind of like the flood, the backpack. It just adds another extra thing. It's like not even just verticality, but there's like new ways to traverse, and along with just like Mario's normal jumping moves and stuff, it's like now you can get like a little weird with it. Which added more diversity to the puzzles they're able to do, because that's really the name of the game with this one, is it's a puzzler more than a platformer.
Like a parkour puzzle platformer, because some of that stuff requires
lot of like figuring out how to use the flood to get where you want to go.
I will say I was a big fan of the flood upgrade where you just rocket into the sky. I love that.
But like the whole like we gotta it had a very like eco kind of message to it, which, don't get me wrong, planet's great, blah blah blah, but like it felt a little ham-fisted, which is like we gotta clean up the world, Mario.
You felt it was a little heavy-handed in its message, or
yeah,
that's funny.
But
even like the filthiness was kind of pretty.
it got to be tedious, and that's the problem. Is it's like, okay, kind of just want to like do the Mario thing and not have to like clean up every inch of whatever this is.
Yeah, I did feel a little bit of annoyance there too when it required me to kind of do a power wash simulator.
Yeah, it's like that's not my job. Level. Hello, I'm a plumber. I'm not like a landscaper.
Yeah, the collectathon. I mean, my place is a collectathon, not like a cleanathon. But I feel like they went a little too far in the collectathon, because now you got these blue coins that you collect to get a star, and like I didn't think that was necessary. There's so much to collect in the game. You literally find somebody and they're like, bring me a bunch of bananas. So you have to go collect bananas to bring to them. And then they give you a blue coin, and then you have to collect 10 of those to collect a star. Like, how much meta collecting can you have in a Mario game. That's got to be top of the hill. I mean, to collect.
It's like my biggest gripe with Donkey Kong 64.
Doesn't that have like the record for most collectibles or something?
Yeah, it's like you got collectibles that unlock other collectibles, and it's absurd.
There's a balance there that needs to be, you know, and I feel like a game like Banjo-Kazooie like perfected that balance.
Yeah, they've been doing it with other titles too, like more modern titles, like the Assassin's Creed have gotten really collect-a-thon-y. In a bad way, just like artificially bloat their already bloated game times. And I love Assassin's Creed, but like I'm kind of tired of games just being like collect all the things.
They've become almost like the Madden of like just themselves. Every year got to come out a new Assassin's Creed game that's going to be like visually better, and it's going to have this new location, but I mean technically it's the same game, you're just collecting more stuff.
Yeah. Wow, but at least they do more than just change the names and numbers on the teams.
Right. And I also wasn't a fan of like you had to get the 7 shines and then there's like an 8 one you can get and you don't have to, it's optional, but the other ones aren't optional, and it didn't make any sense why other areas opened up. Like the game was really, I feel like, kind of random at some point. It's like, "Oh yeah, well hey, you clean this up. Guess what? You clean up this puddle. Now, this entire tower came out of this, and we're not going to explain how this physically makes any sense, but now here's a lighthouse. You cleaned up this puddle, there's a lighthouse. We're not explaining why this is the way it is. Also on the side of this, there's this weird painting that you're going to spray water at. Now whatever the word is, and then you go into it, and I'm like, this is just nuts. Like,
yeah,
for them to even try to tack a story on this to make sense is where I was like, come on man, you want me to like have suspension of belief or disbelief or whatever the term is, or do you want me just to play a goofy Mario game? Like, let me just chill. Game, you need to chill, dude. There's just so much going on. Like, even in the levels, I feel like there were too many NPCs. I don't need that many NPCs in these levels. Give me like 3 or 4. I don't need like a whole ecosystem of people complaining and doing stuff that just tell me like, yeah, go Mario. Like, I'm like, oh, I thought you were going to tell me something important, or you're going to give me a blue coin, or you're going to give me bananas, or you're going to give me something else to collect.
Nah, they were finally able to fully populate the world, and so they went bananas.
They went bananas, just like they did with Donkey Kong 64.
Donkey Kong 64, yeah.
But that just...
They really did. They were just like, they were given the shiny new box. And I know I've harped on this, but they were given the shiny new box, and they said, let's do all the things.
I had an analogy I came up with. I wrote this down to make sure I brought this up in the episode. Mario Sunshine, from its the way it's designed, its controls, its gameplay, and everything that it's about, it is as if Elon Musk like bought the rights, like paid billions of dollars, and he's like, I want to make a Mario game. That's what it feels like. He's like, he had the money. He's like, I want to do this, but he didn't really know what he was doing fully. Like, he just put like, he just bloated the shit out of it with mechanics and like impressive everything, but it was just almost like too much. I don't know why that's the feeling it gave me. Like, it's too much. There's too much going on. And I know that they're flexing with the system, but also like, let's just tone it down.
Yeah.
It kind of gave me anxiety sometimes. I was like, I don't want to, now all of a sudden I'm on a sandbird flying, and now I have to like figure out the air physics on top of this thing moving, on top of my water physics, on top of trying to collect these coins, on top of like this, everything is spinning and the camera still sucks. Like, would you slow down, Mario Sunshine, pump the brakes, you know? And I tend to like out there craziness, berserk ideas and games, but this one just like did not work well with my anxiety at all. I'm frustrated. I was frustrated a lot throughout the game, but I will say I did like the bosses. I really liked the what was it? Pinna Park, when you fight the big Mecha Bowser. I thought that was cool. Everything else in Pinna Park is very annoying, because it's a beautiful level that I think has a lot to offer and is kind of cool to explore, but it's plagued by the camera because you're constantly changing angles and directions. And the camera does not help you during this at all. And I found some of those shines to be some of the hardest to get because of that. But I mean, the game, it is a Mario game in the sense of it does have this tight controls. If you compare it to any game of its class that's supposed to be a platformer, obviously Mario Sunshine is got triple A mechanics. However, it's just too much. Found myself constantly like shuffling through. I'm using the entire controller in this game, in a Mario game. I feel like I'm using every button. Like,
yeah, you really are.
Yeah, and I feel like that's just a little, it's asking too much. But, and the pacing is weird. Like, I thought, like, am I allowed to kind of go off the beaten path and do something, or do I actually have to stick to it? And I realized you go off the beaten path to do kind of whatever, nonsensical things just to get extra shines, but nothing too, like, crazy and elaborate. I will say, though, I do like that you go through you can stomp down through the manholes and then, like, go under, and it does, like, plays the old school music and all that. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about the graphics and audio. So, the game is top of the class when it comes to graphics on GameCube, possibly of that generation, to be honest. These graphics in this game are unbelievable. The draw distance is ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that you can see other levels way in the back. With little minor details, even though it's running, you know, component cables. And I was just blown away by how beautiful the game is and how everything has character and looks great. But I'm just not a fan of like the weird, I get this weird, like uncanny valley-ness from the main characters. They all seem like they're on like opioids or something. Like it's like Mario and Peach in particular, like their voice acting is god awful. And it's like campy, like, oh, Mario, oh no, you need to do this. And he's just always like, aw, huh. And he's like staring, blankly staring half the time.
Yeah, they never really got, really haven't gotten like Mario's facial expressions down in the 3D world.
No, he just looked kind of, I'll be honest, he looked high.
So, like, I was going to say, he just looks gacked out of his mind the entire time.
Ever since he saw that seafood in the opening like cutscene, he just was like riding some kind of oxytocin high. But I mean, it's really pretty and it's really impressive. And they did a really good job, I obviously, with the presentation, and they have to. It's a Mario game, so it's one of the best looking games on the system, easily. But I mean, that's really all I can add. I mean, yeah. What else can
I
say?
What'd you think about the soundtrack?
I liked it. Some of the songs, I was like, that sounds very familiar. There's one song in particular. I think it might be Delfino Plaza or whatever the song main plays in the main overworld. But there, I was like, where have I heard this before? And I'm thinking it was from Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
like, you know, the Smash Brothers.
Delfino Plaza is a level in Smash.
Yeah, and I recall they used the exact track. Like, they didn't change it at all. And I did like that it was it's like it literally the soundtrack and the music and even some of the sound effects are as if Mario 64 went to like the Bahamas. So, and they really captured that. They did that. They did a good job there.
You know, I actually think just kind of like listening through the soundtrack again. It doesn't help with your anxiety.
No.
It's a little bit too hyphy, I think, for a Mario game.
Oh, I was thinking it's a little too, I was trying to think of another word, but I couldn't. It's a little too up tempo.
Yeah. It's like, it's almost like ADHD.
Well, that's how the game feels.
Yeah,
it does. It feels really like an ADHD Mario game.
Like I was expecting more like chill beach vibes tunes, but no, it's like you gave a crack addict some steel drums and just said, go ham.
So you're partying in Columbia Island,
right?
Yeah, it's true though. But I mean, I tip my hat to them having, you know, like I think some of the sound is, I can't think of the name, but we used it. We talked about it on the space station, Silicon Valley episode. But like, you know, you get closer or further away, it's sound indicators of either like the stars or just like certain things, certain characters. But I, at this point in technology, that's not really that impressive. I do think it's really funny though. Mario's hurt. He actually, I mean, he's getting low. His noises and his jumps and his animations are like so depleted of energy. He's like,
oh. Yeah.
And he's kind of just like head down, heavy legged, walking. And, you know, it's cool. They always do a good job with those little things. And they've been doing that forever, Nintendo. So Miyamoto was a producer, and you can always tell when he's got his hand in these projects. But I mean, that's really all I can say. It's pretty, but it's still weird. It's different. The graphics, I think, are the strongest point in the game, personally.
Yeah.
And then sound, and then maybe some of the ambitiousness would take like third or fourth place. And the things I like about it, but there's just a lot of bigger list of cons than there are pros for me, at least.
Diegetic is the term you were looking for.
Diegetic, thank you. I've noticed that term has been being used a lot more lately because I didn't even know about that term till like 2 years ago. And now I can't not unhear it everywhere.
Yeah, so. It's when the music is actually a part of the world versus like a score that is used to enhance the emotions of a piece,
right,
or of a scene.
Yeah,
like this game most soundtracks are extra diegetic or non-diegetic.
Right. Yeah, it's nice. It adds to the atmosphere or the are being engaged in the game. So, but like I said, it's nothing new if they were doing this in N64. You know, it's cool as there. But I mean, I'm really struggling to find things to be like blown away about, really, at this point. That's what it is.
Well, let's get to your final thoughts then.
It's just a weird game. It's it's a weird addition to the universe. I think they started off with, I think, a lot of ideas. I think they achieved every idea they had, but nobody asked us, should we?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those situations like we had all of our attention on how could, you know, how do we make this happen? And we never stopped to ask, should we? And there's just things about it that are weird and foreign to me. And I think it's one of those games that is it's clearly a AAA game, and but it's a AAA game that's not for everybody. And I'm a huge fan. I'm a big Mario boy, but this isn't by all means not a bad game, but definitely not a Mario I want to return to nor beat. And I just don't find myself, when I think of a Mario game, especially a 3D Mario game, it's one of those, it's like a cozy game. You come home and you're like, oh, you want to continue your progress or just like take your mind off stuff for a while. And I couldn't do it with this game, as it's constantly being frustrated with either what it was asking of me, because it just seemed really hard too. Like, you were telling me this is one of the hardest, this is considered one of the hardest Mario games or 3D Mario games?
It's considered the hardest of the 3D Marios, yeah.
I see that. But also now I'm realizing why back in the day I stopped playing Mario games after this, because it seemed like I wasn't all on deck with the gimmick to begin with, and then it looked like everything moving forward was gimmicky. Then it became Galaxy, never played it, and like whatever else came after, I was like, ah, now we're just riding gimmicks. And maybe I'm just old school and I'm the old guy yelling at the clouds right now, but like I just really would have preferred a nice Mario 64 sequel. And we ended up getting like a Mario 64 sequel that did a line of coke and had a lot of money. And so
that's kind of what
is driving a Maserati.
Pretty much hit the nail on the head.
I give the game a. I'll be honest with you. I give it a C plus.
Yeah. So, I would agree with that.
It's too weird. I can see why some people love it. I see why some people hate it.
Well, it's like Super Mario World 2.
Right.
Yoshi's Island. Like, that's not for everybody.
And see, I like those games.
Yeah, well, because they're a little closer to the, you know, the classic formula.
Right.
Whereas this went off the rails.
Yeah, it way went off the rails after doing some rails.
Yeah.
But it's
two coke-induced games in a row.
Yeah, no kidding. I can't. I can't stress enough, though, that I know it's a good game. And I know that it's well produced, and I know it belongs in the Mario universe. It's just one of the, for me, it's a misfire, and it's weird. And That's all I got to say about Super Mario Sunshine, my friend.
All right. I mean, I can't really add anything different other than I enjoyed it more than you did, but I never wanted to play it again.
Yeah, that was just weird for a Mario game, right? Like, I think I've played through every Mario game that in the past at least twice.
Every once in a while, I'll come back to one of them. Yeah.
Well, I want to end it with this, though. One thing I realized, this is where they could have saved it, for me at least. I know this wasn't possible because at the time, Rare was bought out by Microsoft. But you know what this game ended up feeling like to me? It felt like Mario 64 and Banjo-Kazooie had a kid. And if they would have actually, if they were able to still use the Banjo-Kazooie license, if they would have made this game not on an island and say the storyline was that Banjo was kidnapped and the Mario universe, and so Kazooie joins with Mario, and that's the backpack becomes Kazooie, because that's pretty much what the backpack is. It's Kazooie. It does all the things that Kazooie does. They could have had a game called Mario Kazooie.
I wonder if that was kind of the original drawing board plan.
I do too.
In that vein. And then, you know, because of what happened between Rare and Nintendo.
Right. So they're like, oh yeah, well, we don't need Kazooie and Banjo. We got our own backpack that talks.
Yeah. And then,
but it really felt like that, but it didn't work. It felt like the weird knockoff Kazooie, I guess. But what a missed opportunity if Microsoft wouldn't have bought Rare and made a bunch of shitty games with him with that development.
Yeah, but they wanted that. They wanted that Perfect Dark IP to shit on.
Or how about that award-winning Cameo Elements or whatever the stupid game is. Viva Pinata, whatever. If you like those games, I'm sorry. But Rare they were heavyweights.
The only thing Rare has done in recent memory that's good is Sea of Thieves.
Oh, good point. But I mean, I'm sure there's other good games I just haven't played, but what a missed opportunity. They should have just stayed with Nintendo, and then we could have had Mario Kazooie, and that would have been enormous. Not to say that this game didn't sell well. It did. But imagine if this game was Mario Kazooie. Oof. Oh my God. Just that alone. That alone gets me fired up. All right, Mr. Miller, thank you for coming on the show again. Our show. It's so nice to have you. Hopefully you can come and join us again. I don't know what the game's going to be, but I'll let you know.
All right.
Keep it real, and I will talk to you later, man.
Yeah, see you later, buddy.
Oh, boy. Okay. This week's game, or should I say next week's game? Yeah, let's say next week's game. Chosen randomly from the Wheel of Retro, provided by our patrons. Love you guys all so much, guys and gals. Is a game for the PC. It first was released in 1993. No, actually, 1995. Originally developed in 1993. It is a point-and-click adventure created by Japanese artist Osamu Sato. And I have no idea what this is, but the name of this game is Eastern Mind, The Lost Souls of Tong Nao. Could be new. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I have the vocabulary of a drunk fourth grader. Remember that. Join me next week as I play Eastern Mind, The Lost Souls of Tong Nao. Thank you for being a patron. If you are, if you're new to the show, drop us a review or just jump in the Discord, say hi, or, you know, just keep listening. Appreciate that you're here, that you're hearing this. If you want to play along with me, I will be dropping a Twitch stream at some point of this weirdo game that has the weirdest looking cover I've ever seen. It looks like the dude from Power Rangers that talks in the tube. So, join me for, I don't know, it's made by Sony, might be good. Sony Interactive. Wait a second, no. Sony Image Soft. Never mind. They made Cliffhanger on the NES, so I'm worried. All right, let's get our point and click on next week. Love you guys. Have a super garbage day. Cut to B.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.